John.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Very good. Good to speak with you.
Yeah, you too.
As a sort of a beginner student of app development and web development, because I'm studying just the basics, HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and then see where it takes me. It'd be great to see where you've come from, like your background.
Yeah, sure. So my background is actually in an unrelated field. I got a bachelor's in chemical engineering, I went to work at a pharmaceutical company, had a nice cushy job there, and then I discovered Bitcoin while I was doing that. This is going back to 2014, and I didn't know what the heck it was. Someone brought it up in conversation. I researched it that night and I basically realized that I needed to change my life because I saw this thing and it, like, I dove through the rabbit hole, went down all the Andreas Antonopoulos videos, and then I was like, I need to do something in this space. But I didn't have the tools to do it because all I knew was chemistry and all that crap.
Yeah.
So I taught myself how to code on nights and weekends. I built a little app called Cryptuitive, which was like TradingView for crypto before they added that in like 2016, I think it was.
Awesome.
It was like a technical analysis thing for day traders. I went to work at a couple tech startups, did front-end development, some design, UX stuff, and then most recently I am now building Cheddar, which is combining all we have between UX, front-end, back-end, database, like it's everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow, I didn't expect for you to have that background in chemical engineering. I thought you just had a coding development sort of background. I didn't expect that.
Nope, it's all self-learned.
Awesome. So, I mean, were you working during the time you were studying the development side of things and programming and all, or?
Yeah, I was basically teaching myself on nights and weekends. So I started out, I stayed a chemical engineer for a while and was teaching myself programming on the side. Then when I got good enough at it, I took a job as like an entry-level programming gig, worked at a couple startups, learned some stuff. But really the biggest strides that I made in my programming career were actually in my side projects. Because when you're doing like a job for someone else, like generally you get hired for something that you can already do that's in your wheelhouse. But if you want to push your boundaries, you have to really go outside your comfort zone, and it's not easy. It takes time. And when you're working at a company and there's deadlines and deliverables and all of that, you sometimes lose that flexibility to explore. So yeah, I mean, the majority of what I got just kind of came from crypto stuff and just trying to be useful in this space.
Yeah, man, I like what you said there about going outside of your comfort zone, because I was thinking of something last week. Comfort is a silent killer, but struggle is a building block in disguise. I think you're exactly right. You know, going out of your comfort zone, it's the seed of accomplishment, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, it's awesome, and I love the app, obviously. I've really enjoyed reviewing different coins, different projects, and now after you've shown me the white paper of what is coming next, I didn't even expect you guys to be going to that kind of length. But as someone who likes to create content, someone who likes to write, because I do love to write, and really share what I've learned with other people, your idea and what's in the white paper, I mean, if you want to explain yourself in a short summary rather than me trying to regurgitate what I read the other day, you can try and summarize what you're planning.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I phrase this the right way.
Yeah.
So our mission is to onboard the next billion people on a cryptocurrency. So we've looked at the growth numbers in terms of how many cryptocurrencies will exist and at what point in time, and I believe we'll be following up with some research material that we'll publish publicly in a blog post, because actually we weren't able to find any projections around these things. But based on the projections that we've done internally on the rate of growth of cryptocurrencies and the amount of people that are expected to enter this space, there's a lot of problems that have to get solved in order to make this ecosystem work. So really there's three key constituents here. You have crypto companies. These are people that are either issuing their own currency or they're building an exchange or a wallet, some kind of app. And they're trying to get the word out about their product, because really their success is entirely dependent on the size of their community, especially on the coin side. If you have a currency, but it's not being held by many people at all, then what do you really have? I mean, your price is going to be negligible and no one's going to be excited about it. Like, you have to build a community. But a big problem that crypto companies face is getting access to investors and users that are passionate about this stuff. And as, like I mentioned before, this crazy exponential rate of growth of currencies coming into circulation, it's getting really hard to compete. Like, there's lots of ideas that are coming out. The other problem is a lot of them are scams. Like, there's a lot of crap in the water, and it's hard to stand out, especially if you're a legitimate project working on something that you're really passionate about and it's legit. You know, just look at the ICO market. It's totally tainted right now. Anyone who's doing an ICO, it looks like, oh God, everyone's got a sour taste in their mouth. So those are the things that crypto companies are dealing with, and they can't advertise on platforms like Facebook and Google and Instagram, or at least they're wishy-washy on it. There's been so many bans from mainstream social marketing channels that it's just, it's tough.
Yeah.
You know, trying to market and get the word out. Then you have crypto experts who are in a position like yourself to be able to write high quality reviews and to help out other people. But honestly, the majority of them operate privately behind paywalls. So they'll have a newsletter or something like that that you pay for premium content. So it's, you know, a lot of the best information is still just being held in people's minds, or you got to pay money to get it. And then you have the beginner. So this is the huge untapped market. This is like, you know, 95% of the world, people that are yet to adopt this technology. They don't know where to start, who to trust, what any of the technical things mean. It's rough. And I know from personal experience, I was once a beginner. I'm sure you were too. I've been guiding my friends and family through this space for years now. Like, they have a ton of questions, and there's really no beginner friendly, you know, guide. Like, if you're not blessed to have a cryptocurrency expert in your life, it gets really tough to get started, you know, to have any sense of confidence about what you're doing. So we're building a platform to solve the needs of these three key parties. So crypto companies will be able to list themselves on the platform for free and promote themselves. Crypto experts will be able to write reviews, high quality reviews about these coins and apps. And then beginners, it's a platform that they can use to just discover, learn, and get started with any cryptocurrency or crypto app in a super easy way. Now, with regard to tokenization, we've noticed that our key features is our review system, that we allow the community to come to a consensus about the quality of a project. And we think that that's super important for this industry, again, given how, you know, scammy, I guess I'll say, you know, like, just calling a spade, you know, it's not all blue ocean. There's a lot of junk in the water. And we've noticed that with just building a normal centralized review system, we've seen issues with it. So especially if you are building a project that, let's say, is a scam or is scammy, you're even more motivated to make your project look better than it is. So if a coin gets listed on the Cheddar platform, you as the creator, you'll go whisper to your community, hey, everyone, come over here, give us, you know, 5-star review. Or they'll offer tokens, you know, like, hey, give us a 5-star review and we're giving away our token to 10 lucky winners. Like, there's things like this happening. And we're thinking of ways, like, how do we solve this problem? Because the review system, if this stuff is happening, then the review system isn't going to work. Because you have the beginner that's entering the door and they're using this review system to try to figure out what they should avoid, what they should focus towards. And this is where the notion of tokenization came from. So like you mentioned, when we launched the product, this wasn't on the roadmap. This was something that, you know, they say your roadmap doesn't survive first customer impact. Well, as soon as we saw how customers were using this, then we realized, okay, we got to make a little bit of change here. The premise behind the token is that it will reward experts for producing the highest quality, most unbiased reviews. So there's a financial reward, and the financial reward comes from us. We're the Switzerland in the crypto ecosystem. We list all coins, we list all apps. Which one succeeds, which ones don't, it doesn't matter to us. We're just trying to give an unbiased view of the crypto world. And we put a financial motivation behind that to, like I mentioned, for the experts who are operating behind paywalls. Well, hey, just write a review and you'll earn tokens for it. Not only do you continue to make money for monetizing your ideas, but you're also now sharing it in a public forum where beginners can read it and just get smarter, make better, more informed decisions. And again, because the token comes from us, it's not, you'll get rewarded whether it's a 5-star or a 1-star, because we don't care about the rating. We just care about the honesty. Then I could go through a whole rabbit hole of how, you know, we figure out how much to pay someone. That gets into some low-level cryptography. We're using the Steam blockchain. They're coming out with a smart media token protocol. So if you've heard of Steam or Steemit, the blogging site, the same internals that they do to reward blog posts, but we're taking that and applying it to reviews. So that's, I guess, it in a nutshell.
Yeah, I liked when I read that you were going to kind of work in tandem with Steam and Steemit. So that's pretty cool, because I've been looking to get onto that, because I usually write, but I write on Medium.com, but obviously you don't get any reward from Medium.com. So yeah. Steemit and the whole fact that it's within the sort of crypto sphere and blockchain community is wonderful, because you can just see, well, if you have the vision, you can see where it's going and you can see where it's going to take us. But thanks, man. Thank you for summarizing as best as you could there, because I think it's going to be amazing.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I love it already. I loved it even before you sent me the white paper, but now I'm going to love it even more. And I think sending out this video and having you shortly summarize it there, and when other sort of crypto experts and the content creators see this, they're going to want to jump on board, and they're going to want to start using Cheddar. So.
Yeah, and for those who are listening and they're trying to figure out where they could read this white paper, you can go to token.cheddar.com, and that's Cheddar with a U, C-H-E-D-D-U-R. We have a white paper up there, and as we make adjustments to it, we publish updates. We also have a one-pager, which will summarize it a little bit more briefly. One other thing I want to mention, it's a pretty big part of our token economy, is a bounty program. So right now, like I mentioned, there's going to be, and you're currently starting to sense this exponential rise in the number of cryptocurrencies that are coming out. The floodgates haven't even opened yet. It's going to get nuts really soon. And in order for us to provide as much value as we can to the world, we have to list as many cryptocurrencies and crypto apps as we can. And right now we do this, we have forums that are publicly available where the community can submit to us. But right now there's no financial reward behind that. And honestly, it does take work to do. So we always appreciate when we get contributions from the community, because this is really a community run project. But in order to put a financial incentive behind that as well, we have an entire bounty program that is slated that will launch with the currency, where users will be rewarded for listing new coins and crypto apps, and crypto companies will get benefits when they claim. They'll earn the claiming bounty. There's like 4 or 5 bounties that we're currently working on, and we have them documented in the white paper. So we'd also appreciate feedback on that.
I'm sure when people hear the idea, there's going to be people coming in and wanting to support you. I wanted to kind of go off to the side now and to ask you in general what you think. What are the biggest challenges that are going to come up in the road, not for your app, but for this whole space in general?
I think the biggest challenge that we face right now is the information gap, where if you're on the outside looking in, there's this giant swath of water that feels like it's very hard to cross. And once you make it to the other side, it's like, oh, this makes sense. Like, why weren't things built this way to begin with? Like, the internet should have had a payment system built in from scratch. But it's like you got to take a little rocky canoe and you're going through the water trying to get there. So, yeah, we're trying to close that gap down, but it still exists. So I think it's really the role of every crypto company in the space right now to try to narrow that body of water as much as we can. I really see that as the biggest barrier to adoption. Yeah, I mean, I'm also in a first world country, so it's also tough to always rationalize it here to people, because you know, if you have a credit card in the United States, it's really not that bad. You know, it does the job. But I do foresee the day where just like we're at a grocery store and some old lady will take out her checkbook and everyone in line goes, oh, are you kidding me? Same thing's gonna happen with credit cards.
Yeah,
You know,
yeah. That's definitely gonna happen. It's inevitable. And do you? I don't know if you have an opinion on this, but you said obviously you're an Antonopoulos fan, so obviously you're a Bitcoin fan.
Yes.
So, do you have an opinion on which coin, or are you a Bitcoin maximalist? Would you call yourself a Bitcoin maximalist? Do you see any other projects or coins that could challenge Bitcoin?
So Bitcoin is my number one, for sure.
Of course. Yeah.
It has, just some like quick rationale. You cannot underestimate the power of a network effect. And Bitcoin was the first crypto. All it does is money, and it does it really good. And when you look at the roadmap of Bitcoin with the Lightning Network and like all of the problems that are in Bitcoin with, you know, the block size and transaction fees, there's solutions in the roadmap for that. So if you have the foresight and you believe in the core development team and where this thing is going, I think that's a really great project. So that's my number one, always has been my number one. I don't see anything on the horizon that will unseat its throne as a digital store of value. That's how I look at it. I like Litecoin, but I just don't think it's going to overtake Bitcoin. The only advantage Litecoin has, in my opinion, over Bitcoin is a short-term advantage. It's the transaction fees. But once we have the Lightning Network, then I don't know anymore. I'm not saying that Litecoin isn't a good project. It's just if I had to pick, and I've done this before, I've bought Litecoin before, and I convert it to Bitcoin because I just can't sit on it. It's just,
yeah.
But that's just how I work. In the payment, just in the currency payment space, Bitcoin that's my number one. Then if you look at the blockchain application platform area where you have like Ethereum's of the world, Ethereum is my number one again because the network effect. They have Vitalik, very smart guy. Yeah. If you look at their core development team, they're brilliant. I can't even understand half the stuff they say.
Yeah, like, man. Yeah.
Honestly, it makes me feel good about my investment too.
Yeah, dude. Vitalik, man. Vitalik is just a robot. He's just a robot.
As a developer, I've played around with some of their development tools. So we've launched a few coins to the public testnet just to see, like, this isn't, you know, snake oil, right? It actually works. So that's always good when you can get into the code and actually verify for yourself. I'm really optimistic about Ethereum. I think that they'll solve their scaling issues. It's only a matter of time. It feels like they always say, oh, it'll be done by the end of the year. Who knows? But I think they'll eventually fix it. But the question is how long? And because there's a question of how long, I also really like EOS. To me, if Ethereum solved its scaling issues, EOS would be much less appealing. But because there are scaling issues, and I think they will be present for a while, and there's really no hard date on how long it will take to get just more transactional throughput. What is Ethereum's at 17, I think, transactions per second or something like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty low. And I think EOS is already at, 7,000 TPS. The other thing I like about EOS is no transaction fees. Just to put this into perspective, when you build a dApp on Ethereum right now, let's say it was a decentralized Twitter, and there's a couple of them out there. Every time you want to like a tweet or retweet, you have to pay a fee to process that transaction on Ethereum. Just think about the user experience. You have to have a balance in your account, and you have to constantly pay to use these applications. But with EOS, the entire infrastructure, it uses delegated proof of stake. It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
This mechanism, and that allows you to build a user experience or a dApp that has no transaction fees. You're making sacrifices. So the blockchain itself is run by 21 block producers. So it's a little bit different of a trade-off. You're trading decentralization for user experience. Really, in my mind, this is where I start to put EOS kind of in its own class. It's in the blockchain application platform area, but it's totally on the other side. Ethereum is like full decentralization and immutability and all that stuff. And then EOS is, here's a blockchain that has no transaction fees, is super fast, but we don't need this extremism of decentralization. And I think both of them are valid. It really depends on the developer and what you're trying to achieve. So yeah, I'm excited about EOS. I've been following them basically from when the project was announced. I'm a big fan of Dan Larimer and the things he works on. This brings me to my fourth. So the fourth one that I'll plug, Steam. So I didn't buy Steam before I realized that they have a new protocol coming called Smart Media Tokens, which will allow platforms like ours to easily launch our own token properties called Proof of Brain. If you don't know what Proof of Brain means, it's essentially, if you're creating as a content creator, you make a piece of content, how does the blockchain figure out what to reward you? Everyone can't get the same reward. There has to be competition to produce the highest quality content. So this is what Proof of Brain does. It's a whole ton of logic and cryptography down to the millisecond to figure out what everything is worth. And that's going to allow pretty much every blog on the internet to be rewritten with a token very easily without having to write that underlying logic yourself. So that's why we're super excited. Yeah, I'm really optimistic for the Steam platform. Now that they're having a platform layer built on top, it should behave very similar to an EOS dApp where it's delegated proof of stake, there's no transaction fees, super fast block times. So yeah, and then obviously I have to say the fifth one would then be Cheddar tokens, but I'm totally biased on that, so.
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying about the DPoS, the delegated proof of stake, I mean, we really have BitShares to thank for that. It's a very interesting model. It isn't, of course, the decentralized model that everyone romanticizes about, or especially the early entries into this sphere. Obviously, they hate anything that isn't decentralized. But, you know, we have to be a bit realistic as well. And sometimes, as much as I romanticize about decentralization and Bitcoin and Ethereum, sometimes I like to question myself. I like to argue with myself. I can be quite skeptical with anything that I tend to start to believe in too much. Yeah, so this is where things like EOS comes in, and other types of cryptocurrencies and platforms, and because you, if we're talking about EOS against Ethereum, then we could even bring in Nano against Bitcoin. You know, there's a lot of different arguments. There's so many different things going on.
Mm-hmm.
So the space, it just keeps expanding, and it's really hard to keep up, you know, with everything, because we don't know what's going to come next.
I agree completely, and that was one of the huge motivations behind us launching the Cheddar platform, is there's just so much happening that it's impossible. It's getting to a point where as a single person, you can't do due diligence on every project. It has to be like, you need an army of people working together to collectively help each other, and that's what we're trying to do. It's a community-run platform where we can list all of the currencies, critically review them, and then ultimately, let's say we're in a future, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, there's millions upon millions of currencies. They're deeply cataloged in our systems. You tell us what your preferences are in terms of your risk tolerance, are you passionate about sports or what are your hobbies? Then we can start being a matchmaker and say, hey, you know, Christos, you like sports? Great. Look at all of these currencies or these platforms that are doing things in an area that you really like. Everything of value in this world will eventually make it to the blockchain and be tokenized, and you'll be able to invest in things that you previously couldn't. I'm speaking generally on purpose because I don't want to watch this back in 5 years from now and look like an idiot. Like, you just don't know the different types of things you'll be able to invest in. All I know is that there's going to be a ton of them, and you're going to have the pick of the litter. You know, it's no longer put your money in a bank or get a 401k or a Roth IRA and that's it, or stock market. Like, you used to have four options. Now you can literally invest in pretty much anything that can hold a monetary value. Someone's just got to write the dApp for it and put it on the blockchain. Yeah. So.
Yeah. No, you're totally right to speak generally. I've made a mistake a few times, even on Twitter, where I've not been too general, and it's going to come back to bite me. You know, I've fallen for a lot of different things that could be scams, and I still don't know if they are or not, you know. So this is just the nature of the space, unfortunately. But yeah, this is why I love your app, and I love the white paper, man, because honestly, I run a few different groups where I'm trying to educate people because I feel it's important. I mean, if we really want this to happen, we all have a responsibility to educate people out there and to tell people. And it gets annoying for these people to have to listen to someone like me talking about this thing that they're like, "What are you talking about? You know, like, what is this cryptocurrency? What is Bitcoin? Oh, didn't it just crash? No, it's crashed many times. Oh my God." Having an app like yours is really going to help people to explore all of the different projects and what each and every one is doing. Because sometimes some people come to me because I'm the I hate using the word expert, but I'm that guy, you know, that within my group. They come to me and they're like, "Oh, what do you think of this project?" And I have no idea what it is. They're like, "What do you think of this?" I'm sorry, man, I have no idea what you're talking about. I can't keep up with 1,000 or a hun even 100 projects. It's crazy.
Yeah, the other tricky part, and you alluded to this, where it's hard to tell if a project is a scam or not until an act of crime is committed that is like publicly auditable. I mean, you could research Bitcoin space scam and you'll find a ton of people that say, "Oh yeah, Bitcoin's a scam." Like, everyone thinks everything is a scam. So really hard to get qualified advice. So from our point of view, and I want to allude to it, this gets into our policy and kind of why we're doing the tokenized route, is I can't guarantee that the Cheddar platform will be scam proof, because if a new project comes along and it looks legit and they haven't committed a crime yet, we're going to add it. I mean, that will pass our content guidelines, but we need the community to come together and to hold them accountable. And if something does happen at some point in the future, or if you read, like, deeply read the white paper and find something that doesn't add up, that's where we need reviews on these projects. So our thesis is more to be the Switzerland in this space and to keep obvious scams out that we know at the onset, but realize that it's impossible to be perfect and some will make it in. And we need the community to come together and to collectively police this space, and hopefully the environment that we can create.
I mean, scam is quite subjective in many forms as well, if you think about it. I mean, you and I, being Bitcoin fans and probably decentralized romanticists, we could probably look at fiat currency, the current, you know, governments, the way they're structured, and we can call them scams. And we could have a lot of people disagree with us, you know, but that's the way we see it, right? I would argue to a lot of people that a lot of the world that we live in some sense, is a scam. I mean, if we think about what's really important, the real importance is looking after the planet, because we're just an extension of the Earth, right? So that means planting trees, that means looking after the oceans, that means doing all of these things. But at the same time, we live in a societal structure that pushes us to survive, basically, and to earn and to make money. And so I think we do get caught up in the whole chasing of monetary gain, and we forget about what's really important. So if we're going to talk about scams, there's so many scams. I mean, that all of society is a scam in some sense. McDonald's, is that a scam? It's a kind of a scam, man. You know, it's kind of a scam. It's kind of, you know, it's not good for your health. But does that mean you can't have something like that around? It's just the world we live in, you know? It's just the world we live in. So, yeah, there's no way that your app is going to be able to get away from scams. There's always going to be people out there that want to take advantage, that want to profit off of hurting other people. Sometimes they don't even want to hurt other people, they just want to profit. And hurting other people seems to be an effective way. Or fooling other people, seems to be an effective way. So yeah, scam. That's a funny word.
Yes, it is.
But it's May you're planning to have 2.0 out, isn't it? May 2019. I think that's what I read.
Yeah, I believe that's the date. The where that comes from, we're a little bit on the timeline of the Steam Smart Media Token Protocol. So their test net comes out in January, and the main net goes live in March. So yeah, where the May comes from, we're going to be developing the 2.0 code all throughout Q1 of next year into Q2. We think May is a reasonable target to have it done by. So long as the Steam guys hit their dates, which to some extent they've been notorious for not doing. So Our fingers are crossed there.
Oh God, okay. I hope they follow through, because I just actually
Yeah.
joined Steam not long ago, and I was trying to write articles on there, and the user interface of writing the articles isn't as fluid for me, or it's not as pleasant as Medium is. It's just basically a text box, and then you write the text, and there was no way to kind of format things. I didn't really know what I was putting out.
Here's a little bit. It's called, they use this thing called Markdown. So if you, yeah, there's a whole form. So with a Medium, you do it through the UI where if you highlight something, then they'll have a little
Yeah.
thing up. But with Steam, they don't have that. So you have to actually type it in these characters that mean something to make
Right.
it show different. Yeah.
I'm still learning, man. On the app, obviously you're going to have ways of empowering blogs. Are you going to have like a section where people that make videos, people can go in and watch those videos rather than having to go through a link into, let's say, YouTube? Would the video be able to just be on your app?
So right now we support videos at the profile level. So if you were to go to Bitcoin's page, so cheddar.com/coins/Bitcoin, you'll see an explainer video pop up. But in terms of community-driven videos, right now the way that we support that is through reviews.
Okay.
So you, for example, if you have an opinion about Bitcoin, so I'm sure you do. And if you also happen to have that in video format, you could attach that to your review, and then that would link over to YouTube or whatever platform that is. And in the future, we'll do better at embedding that directly in the review, so it's a little bit more appealing to click through. Another feature we have in the pipeline is news aggregation. So we've been told a lot from our user base that it's great that we track prices for everything, and you can develop a watch list and stay up to date on price changes, but we don't tell you why the price is changing. And not that that's always explainable, but if we could pull in news from different sources, then you can start to develop a news feed and stay in the loop. Right now, we solve that through a weekly newsletter that we send out. So if you go to cheddar.com/join and you sign up for a free account, that will enroll you in our newsletter. And we keep our audience up to date on a weekly basis of just new things that are happening in crypto, important news, things that we think you should be aware of. But going forward, we'll also be releasing that news feature, which will pull in content from out all around the web. And if that piece of content happens to be in video format through some community posting, then that will surface on the application as well. What is your 6 month, 1 year, 5 year?
All right, you go first.
Okay, so I think we're at the bottom of the bear market. Crypto has done this, Bitcoin especially, like 8 times in its history. And if you were to take the chart and overlay it on the previous boom and bust cycles, doing it logarithmically, it looks the same. So, in doing that, I believe that we're basically at the bottom. I don't know, it can go much lower from here. Sideways at 6K for quite a bit. Which is a healthy sign. So the question is, when does it start moving up? So I think we're going to hit the next bull run in the next 6 to 8 months. So my 6 month price target would be 10K. I think we'll start that slow rise up.
Okay.
My 1 year target is once we start that slow rise up, that's when things start getting crazy again. My 1 year, I put it 30K.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And then my 5 year, quarter million.
Okay.
And I think those are pretty conservative.
Yeah,
I'll say.
they are quite conservative, to be fair. I would agree with the 6 month. I don't think, or I'm not sure, to be honest. I can't really be sure of anything. You never know in this market. But I felt like we're not going to see a massive rise this year. A lot of people are expecting it to come at the end of this year, like it happened last year. I don't think that's going to happen. I feel like it's going to come springtime next year. April, May, something around there. I think your 10K is pretty spot on. I would say I would kind of have to agree there. Now with the 1 year, I mean, once we hit that bull run, this
So that 30K in a year might be after it flies up and then comes
yeah,
back.
true. Okay, I'm gonna go different from you, just to be different. So I won't be as reasonable. I'll go 50K. And then my 5 year, I'll go for, okay, I'll just go for W. I'll go for 500K. But honestly, I think yours is very likely, and I think anything can happen. But there's still that side of me that's also kind of going, you know, you're an idiot. This none of this is gonna work. So you never know. Maybe a bull run could come at the end of this year. I don't know.
Yeah, it's totally possible.
It's totally possible. What do you think of, by the way? Because I mean, I've had a bit of I suppose it's a sense of cognitive dissonance when it comes to Ripple. Because obviously, I love Bitcoin. I love decentralization. So I've had a bit of a bad opinion of Ripple for so long, but they seem to be getting things done, securing a lot of partnerships with high-level banks and big companies. So I'm starting to think maybe Ripple are onto something, or they're going somewhere because they have a lot of backing. What do you think?
So, I don't understand the hype behind Ripple.
Yeah.
It's in my understanding that it's potentially not even a cryptocurrency.
Right?
The supply is 100 billion. So, I mean, let's start there.
Okay.
The supply of the currency is 100 billion, which is 5,000 times the maximum supply of Bitcoin. So, when the Ripple price starts going nuts, like it did into like the $3 range, I mean,
Yeah.
that like no sense. I think that because Ripple, I think the premise behind Ripple is like cross-border payments. And I don't understand what is Ripple's advantage over something like Bitcoin, which is universal payments, which is inherently cross-border. I think that Ripple, to me, just sounds like a competitor in the purely payments arena. And then that goes back to my analysis of like what are the top payment currencies, and Ripple's not on my list because when it comes to money, I believe that the key factor is censorship resistance. That's where you need full decentralization, and that's what Bitcoin solves. Bitcoin is the most decentralized, the most censorship resistant cryptocurrency. And Ripple, I don't think is anywhere near that. I like
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
I haven't been plugged in to Ripple lately, but I remember when I was doing due diligence on Ripple going back like 6 months, 8 months, there seems to be a lot of flaws in its design where and it's centrally controlled and you can only access it from their website. Like, I don't know, there just seemed to be a lot of catches to it that didn't make sense. So
Yeah, I was the same, so. And this is why a lot of recent, I suppose, headlines, and with their whole XRapid thing, I don't even know what that is, by the way. But I started sort of doubting my disbelief or discontent with the Ripple idea, and started thinking, well, am I wrong here? Am I wrong to go against this? Am I only going against this because I'm on Team Bitcoin? Yeah, I don't know. I have a friend that's very much a big believer of Ripple, and when I bring this up to him, and I say that, you know, Ripple's not even a cryptocurrency, he says, "Yeah, I know," and he loves Bitcoin. Like, he is a Bitcoin maximalist to a degree as well. But he said that he always says to me, "If you're being real, considering who will be or which cryptocurrency or which project, let's say, that's in this space, that the authorities will be most likely to adopt and integrate with the current systems that we have in society," he said it's Ripple, and I couldn't fault him there because there seems to be some partnerships going on there. But again, like you said, it isn't a cryptocurrency. It doesn't solve a lot of problems that any Bitcoin maximalist wants to be solved. I'm not sure what I think about it from an investment standpoint, though.
I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
I don't blame you. I don't know. I'm starting to doubt myself.
I
Maybe I
think that's
shouldn't.
healthy to do. And I haven't done that in a while. So it'd be worth my while to catch myself up on the latest Ripple news to really, because that's super healthy. Like, for example, when EOS was coming out, I was doubting a little bit too, where it's like, what, there's only going to be 21 block producers, and I was used to Ethereum, which is full of decentralization, and like you think about different failure modes.
Yeah.
But if it's a quality project, there's a solution. It's just not readily apparent. Ripple may have that, but from the research I've done in the past, and you know, there's people in the space whose opinions I admire, I haven't seen a positive opinion of Ripple.
Yeah.
But again, that's always healthy. It's a question.
Mm-hmm. It is, because we don't know where it's going for sure. And we could just be, again, caught up in the romantic idea of the cryptocurrencies that we love, which I don't think we're wrong for. I mean, what we want is, it takes more of a revolution, what we want. Yeah. What Ripple fans want is just profit. To be honest, I don't think there's any revolutionary idea there. It's just, which is the digital currency that could take over, and then that's what makes people more attracted to Ripple, because they see the rise that Bitcoin had. They probably kicked themselves because they missed out on that.
Yeah, so this is called unit bias. Because there is such a huge supply of Ripple, the price is naturally very low. And when we were going through the bull run of 2017, my phone was going crazy with people saying, how do I buy Ripple? And this was literally when we were launching the platform, so I couldn't just link them like, oh, hey, here's the... So I'd have to like help them one-on-one over the phone. And I was like, well, first, why Ripple? And why not something like Bitcoin? And they were like, oh, Bitcoin is so expensive. They didn't know they could buy a fraction, that they thought they had to buy a full one for like 15K or whatever it was back then. That's not true. So yeah, there's a huge unit bias there, and Litecoin benefits from this as well. If someone creates a Coinbase account and they're looking at their options of which one to buy, Litecoin looks pretty good. It's at like $50 right now, and Bitcoin's at
60,
you know, because of these, again, that information gap and not understanding the rules of the game.
John, it's been a pleasure. It's you're a really cool guy, and I really admire the project, and I admire your mind, man. I didn't expect you to have a chemical engineering background. And the fact that you did all of your development, training, programming, training on the side of that is highly commendable, and I respect that. So,
thank you. Well, and for your audience, again, the Cheddar platform is available at Cheddar, CHEDDUR.com. It's a free download on the Google Play Store if you have an Android phone. It's also a free download on iOS on the App Store. And if you want to read more about our plans for the platform with Cheddar 2.0, as we're calling it, which is the incentivized version of what we're doing, you can visit token.cheddar.com, and we have a white paper and a one-pager all open sourced for you to check out. And we'd appreciate feedback. So yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Cheddar, check it out. Thanks, John. Take care.
All right, see ya.